and now we have wet clothes. Like, am I upset that he didn't have that anticipation, that he wasn't being considerate to the thing was where I'm doing 700 things in the day and all he had to do was one thing, was switch the laundry. That's our biggest fight right now, laundry. Yeah. Like, all you had to do, my love, my sweet, sweet white man, was put it from the washer to the dryer.
Not the colonizer.
Not the colonizer.
Welcome back to the podcast. I guess that's what I'm going to use now. Welcome back to Mental Chillness, a comedy podcast about living with mental illness and learning how to achieve mental chillness.
We are your hosts today. I'm Jules.
And I'm Con.
And we're your fairy buff mothers.
Boom. I always forget you're going to say that before I fucking sing it. Oops. Well, we're joined by very special guests today, everyone.
Yes, we are.
We talk about these bitches on every single episode. Every fucking Monday we post them. And we finally have them to bless our presence today.
We have
the Whip Whip Girls in the house.
Whip Podcast.
Wellness in Progress. Yeah. Where they talk about their ever-evolving selves and the shit that your mama don't want to tell you. We have Megan and Hannah in the house.
Hey guys, this definitely has been long overdue. We literally, from the get-go, you guys were our first, like, real guests.
That's crazy.
And,
That's crazy.
Yeah, you guys are literally... When Megan said this, that we're the same people in different font.
Yeah.
Literally,
it's so true.
I
always say that we're kind of like the more hood version of you guys.
We're like the no filter.
We're just like a little more hood sophisticated. And you're like the actual sophisticated.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
We're just like the bootleg version.
We're literally, if we stepped in a different universe, like, this is so weird. Like, the fact that we ran into you guys.
I know.
In general.
Exactly. And it's really cool because it has really evolved. We go to the gym together now.
Yay! Oh my god.
Yeah.
We're actually friends.
Exactly. And we have really made a friendship out of this. So it has been really cool to like be able to meet people that you never think that you would meet. I literally deadass never thought I would meet another Asian bitch ever that I could like be friends with
or relate to.
Exactly.
You know?
Just because I've always grown up, like, if you're not Asian, you probably don't know this, but Asians, there are different types of Asians. They are the ones that like can stick together and like they're in their own, like, it's almost like they're still in Asia.
Yeah, they like amp each other up. Like, they literally don't even have to speak English with each other.
Exactly. And then there are like the ones that are like way deep into like the white people circle, and then there are the ones that are way deep into like the hood rat shit. I think I'm in there, but
they got it up.
Exactly, bro. I've never been the cool Asian, but I think I'm the weird Asian because to them. But to the ones that have like the cliques, you know what I'm saying? They're not weird. They're the cool ones. I'm the weirdo with no cliques.
You're like whenever they have like, you know, like they go through the, like every little section. You're the cool Asian.
Yeah, I
feel like growing up, I was like probably the nerd Asian. Like, makes sense.
I can see that.
Makes sense.
Yeah. I love seeing that.
Yeah, I was the token Asian friend too. Like, I grew up probably white school.
Oh my god.
So I was everyone's token Asian.
I agree.
Hell no. Stop Asian hate.
Yeah.
By the way, bitch.
Like, you're not diverse, you know, Jessica, just because I'm sitting next to you. Like, doesn't make your friend group more diverse.
Yeah.
Oh, but also, everyone. So, the reason why we say that we're twins is because Jules has, like, a reflection of another beautiful, like, Puerto Rican queen or Cuban.
Oh, stop. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I'm half and half.
There you go. Exactly. Thank God I remember. But then also Hannah is halfway and half Korean.
Yes.
So literally we are twins. Yeah. And then like how crazy it is to find another podcast who are doing something like
similar
to us, but just represented in a different way.
Yeah.
And so the coolest thing I think through this entire connection is that there has never ever been any like form of jealousy. There's always been just like, there's room for everyone. We recognize that we are similar but different, and we're that we can support our differences.
Yeah.
Which is the coolest part.
We literally embody, like, you can sit with us. Like,
hell yeah. Please sit with us.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to sit with the boys.
There is literally room for you guys. Please come and hang out with us. And the minute that, like, we hung out with them, it was like a spark.
It was like we had known each other. It was so weird because we were all so comfortable. And normally, like, it takes me a second to, like, heat up to someone. But I was like, nah.
Well, okay. the first time we ever met, let me tell you, this is how comfortable we were. The first time we ever met, we had, like, a five-hour technical difficulty malfunction.
So we spent the whole day together.
Today is nothing.
Bro, exactly. So, like, if it was anyone else, I would have never sat in their home for like 5 hours and do nothing while they figure shit out. If it was anyone else, I would have been like, bro, I'm gonna bounce.
We went to Best Buy. We did a whole damn thing.
To be honest, now that I relook at that day, I'm like, we really sat through and we still recorded and then we switched locations.
Multiple times. Do you remember? And then
we video recorded.
Can you tell that none of us knew how to podcast? Can you tell that all of us are new to this shit?
It was so bad.
It was so worth it.
It was. I mean, we made it work.
Exactly. Yeah. And now we get to have you guys on.
Exactly.
When you start something new in a space that you're excited about, you really attract, like, that same energy. Literally the same energy. So it was so weird.
And you know what else is that all I have been surrounding myself with, even, like, with online, is, like, other local podcasters that I found. And, like, now that I guess that I found, like, a like, quote unquote, like, a field, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's music. Yeah. So, like, now that I'm into podcasting, I like to do a lot of research and shit. So not only do I, like, watch a lot of different people from all over the country and whatever, it surprised me all the time how much there are, like, how many there are just around us, like, just around the corner in the local, like, Orlando scene, like,
it's popping up for sure. It's so fucking cool.
Yeah.
There's even like recording studios for podcasts in the area. That's so crazy.
Exactly. So yesterday, there is a niche, like, a bunch of people. No, but there's a lot of money into this industry as well, because podcasting is now just getting up to, like, the
speed of radio.
Exactly. Like, okay, so, like, I say this all the time, but Spotify gave Alex Cooper, this girl that runs a podcast called Call Her Daddy.
Yeah.
They gave her the first, like, whatever official like podcasting deal or whatever for $60 million. Yeah. There are things like the Breakfast Club and, like, all of these things that have been around forever. There's so much money there that, like, we don't know shit. Like,
we know
all.
Nothing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we're learning.
Yeah.
But it's just cool, you know? But also, are we mentally chill or ill right now? What's good?
We're both. I feel both.
Yeah, I had such a good start, and everything just happened too much. And you know, whenever you feel like you're over, like, there's so much to do, so, like, you put it off because there's just, like, you don't have enough time in the day, so you kind of put off slowly. And you're like, okay, I'm gonna get to this later.
Yeah,
I'm gonna get to that later, and literally got to the point where, like,
there's no time left.
There's no time left. And I was just, like, pushing everything in my day. And I felt, like, today, I felt crazy. I got 5 hours of sleep. I went to sleep at 5:30 yesterday.
Oh, my God.
Woke up, had to go print a resume, go to the mall to, like, grab some stuff, like, essentials. And, like, it felt like I left it to the last minute, but I didn't. I didn't. I literally had so much shit the whole week that it piled up to me, like, overextending myself now. And I felt bad. I was a little late. I was a little late today. So if that tells you anything, I was listening to a song and, like, it just came on because, like, it knew. But it was called, like, Bad Mood or, like, from Miley Cyrus. And I was like, damn.
They be knowing.
Yeah, like, they just know me. Oh, my God.
She was like, this bitch is stressed.
Yeah.
I know. Bad I feel mood. Like we're just in, like, a different season of life, even from when the last time we recorded with both of you. Like, we're in a different space. Like, we're actively trying to pursue, like, a professional career, and we're still trying to do our podcast, and we're juggling a lot. Like, we still have friendships and relationships and family members, and, like, that shit, it didn't just stop overnight.
Yeah, we haven't even recorded our episode. So.
Yeah, we'll do that later on today. So,
we're so honored.
I know, but it just feels like we have so many amazing things that we're doing and working towards.
Oh, but exciting.
Like the amount of effort and work that those things require, like they require more of our energy. So I feel like, yeah, I'm chill because I'm like excited about the point of my life that I'm at, but like, I'm ill because I'm stressed as shit. I don't think I put things off to the end, but I try to fill my day so much because I haven't done anything for so long that like I'm overwhelming myself on like the day to day. So I'm like, I'll go to sleep and I'm like, shit, I didn't do enough today. Like, that's how I feel. And then I don't get good sleep because I'm stressed about the things that I have to do in the next day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? My burnout cycle was exactly that. And I think that I got so traumatized from being burned out that, like, I refuse to, like, let myself go back into a cycle where I load on so much to make up for what I thought I lacked in the time that I didn't do anything or do enough.
Yeah.
And, like, now I just tell myself, like, bro, I ain't gotta do shit. Like, I really don't gotta do shit, okay?
I almost
like,
feel the opposite.
What? I think it's because I really burnt out, like, so bad. That I was just like, I can't. I don't care what anyone says. I retired from hustle culture 2 years ago, and I will never go back.
It's just, imagine you're working full time, and then you're taking on, like, this podcast as a side hustle, whatever. Like, you know, it's something that you love to do, so you do that. But it's a lot of work that you put in. That's like your extra time. The extra time I have in my day that I'm not working, I'm putting toward this. But then I have looking for a new job and doing all these like five other things that I'm trying to do. My boyfriend just bought us a new bed and literally now we have to redo the whole bedroom and do this and that. And I have to help him do that because that's something that's been stressing him out.
Yeah.
Like no other. So it's like trying to support everyone else while you're trying to be a full-time this, full-time that. And you're just like, no.
It's just been a minute since we've like come to center. And I feel like the only time we get to do that is when we work out. That is our only time.
But we haven't been able to because we've been so busy this week.
This week has been rough. Yeah. I only made it one day. She only made it two. But like when we're at the gym and now that I'm like super into it, like that time is sacred. Nobody bother me.
I love that.
Nobody call me.
That
oh, it was a total, because at the beginning I was watching movies. She's like, I need you to pay attention. I need you to get into this. And I just couldn't, but I've been doing it for a minute now where I'm like, if I get a phone call, I'm going to lose my mind. Please, nobody call me. Nobody text me. Like between, and we go for like an hour and a half to 2 hours. And I love that time because I feel so good. There's so many endorphins going at the same time. But like, that's the only time and space. And honestly, 2 hours a day is not enough to feel the best you need to feel about yourself. It's not enough self-care time, unfortunately. And it like comes out in like feeling overworked or overstressed or like you have to continue to push things. So I feel like we're in that gray area of like, yeah, we're really fucking happy. We're really great. We're doing well. But like things could be better. We could have time allotted for things better. We could plan better.
I wish I had my own time. Like I didn't even have time to go to the gym. That's when you know a bitch has no time.
Yeah.
It's like I didn't even give myself that
fucking
time.
Part.
I didn't even eat today until it was 3 p.m. Yeah. Like I literally had no time. And it's not that I'm not even managing my time wisely. It's I'm getting home at 10 p.m. I'm exhausted. I have to make myself dinner.
But you're not too tired. You're not tired enough to go to sleep.
I am, but like I have so much things to do. And then by the time I finish them, I'm just like, yeah, now I'm fucked for tomorrow. You know? So it's like the consistent cycle. So I'm hoping everything will come to a chillness point.
That's the goal.
And that's why we're here today.
Love it.
Yeah.
How you doing?
For me, I feel like we're all always in tune. So when you guys are going through some shit and we get together and we all talk, we're going through some shit as well. At least for me, mentally, I've been pretty okay. I've been definitely getting stronger in that aspect. Knowing that I am in control has definitely been a big help for me, but it's just more physical. I've just been having a lot of seizures. So it's just a little bit more something that's just been a little bit more physical for me, because in the days that I have seizures, it's something that I can't go to work. Yeah. I can't drive. I couldn't even record one day because I couldn't drive
There's
to
no
her.
Quick recovery from
so
that.
It's not like something that I can just pick up. And so my life has just been a little bit on hold. This last week, I think I have had 2 to 3 seizures just this week. So it's been a little bit hard. So I definitely can understand. Adulting is hard. Nobody tells you this shit. Like nobody, I mean, yeah, they tell you and you see your parents going through the shits and you're like, damn, they make it seem like it's like cake. But then when you're in the shit, you're like, damn, I'm in the shit. Like, this shit is hard.
Yeah.
But other than that, you know, I've had better days, but better days are always coming for me. And everything that I choose to surround myself with always reminds me that I am so lucky and I'm so blessed to be sitting here with you guys. So let's just look at the positive, because I am alive and well.
Okay. Love it. I have red hair now.
Yeah. It's red, baby.
Bro, tell me how. So last week I hit a new record of depression. Like, these bitches were talking about how they didn't have time to go to the gym. I had all the fucking time, bitch. I was just too sad. Like, I was way too sad. I don't know if anybody's ever been sad to the point where your body literally physically hurts. Yes. Like to where, like, it's like really hard to breathe. And, like, it's really hard to, like, move without feeling, you know, anything.
Yeah.
And I think I got to that point. And then but the craziest shit is, I was so fucking depressed. And then I had a hair appointment on Thursday. So from, like, Monday to Thursday, I was like,
she's like, I'm going red.
You know, whatever. And then on Thursday, I did my hair. And literally, the minute I did my hair, I was like, damn, depression cured. Literally. And then, like, you know, like 2 days later, I'm like, oh no, I'm depressed again.
Felt like some
Exactly. But it was, like, necessary. I feel like I enjoy like big changes a lot. And I enjoy like doing like kooky shit. Like, I enjoy like, so my hair is like red. And before I had like purple hair and I had blue hair and whatever. And then before even like I could even dye my hair, I was always very like kooky and like my fashion and whatever. So I just really enjoy changing. I love like shedding different versions of myself.
It's very like an expression of yourself.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel like I just turned into a whole new person with like a haircut and like a different color or whatever. But yeah, it's cool.
I feel like it fits her so well. Like, as soon as she, like, literally, like, I look at her and I'm like, Raven. Like, I don't even know. Like, I want to say, like, a spicy-ass name. I have no idea.
She's a spicy girl.
I feel like when girls are going through something, we're like, nails done. Just spend.
Exactly.
Why are we like this?
But, nah, I don't know. I think lately, I've just been really focused on therapy. Because I know that I'm, like, because I know that I'm really sad, I enjoy being, like, a productive sad person. So, like, it actually makes me feel worse if I direct all of my energy to do nothing. I enjoy it more if I know, like, okay, I'm sad. But I can go to work and spend, like, 8 hours there and productively make money.
Mm-hmm.
And that will make me feel a lot better than staying home and do nothing. So, yeah. I feel like because I've been so sad for so long, all of my energy is like has been really redirected. So like once we started the podcast again, I was literally like, there's nothing is going on except for my podcast. Like, yeah. I do podcasts in the beginning of my week and then I work in the end of my week, and like that keeps me a little bit better.
Yeah,
because if not, then I feel like I'm falling apart.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need that routine and you need that stuff. Like, I've been so busy that I'm like, wait, we've been talking about our mental wellness, and I'm like, I've just been talking about being like stressed, like physically, but I'm like,
when was the last time you checked in?
Yeah, I'm like, how am I mentally? I don't
know. How are you mentally, boo?
I don't know. I'm like too tired to even like figure that out, because I think I'm just gonna combust into like,
yeah,
being upset for being overly like strained for the week. But I'm like, am I good?
When I know I'm having a crazy week is when I'm like, I haven't even journaled. Yeah. Like, usually I sit down and I'm like, even when I know it's real bad is when I journal often. Because sometimes even when it's good, I'm like, okay, journal when it's good.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I'm like, when I'm like, I haven't even jotted anything down, I'm like, okay, girl.
Yeah.
I'm trying to avoid.
Damn. I feel like we do that too, but we're each other's journal. We haven't like talked this week a lot. Yeah. And it's been a little distant. Weird. It's been really weird. And I don't know if like to say anything. This is about to be therapy. But, yeah. Like, it's just, it's weird. But we do that. We, like, avoid. I do that. I avoid friends. I avoid family. Like, if I'm not happy
Me
or
too.
Anxious,
yeah.
I avoid, like, the plague. And then I'll usually get a text being, like, you there?
Well, I'm not
checking
like that.
In.
Because you're so vocal. Like, you know, you really communicate with your friends. So, like, if you don't check in, I'm just like, is Megan okay if she doesn't reach out? Because, like, for me, like, me and my sister won't talk for, like, months and be mm-hmm. like, hey, girl, what's up? Like, I'll do that with my mom. I won't talk to her for a whole month and be like, hey, what's up, you know, mom? But you guys are, like, a lot more closer knit. It's, like, not hearing from Megan, I'm like, is she okay? Wrong. Yeah, like, what's going on?
I usually, if I get really sad, I have, like, one person that I can probably, like, be okay with because I know that I don't have to be happy around them. But with anyone, I literally sometimes my, and then I have really great friends. Thank you guys for checking in with me. But like, I feel bad when they're like, hey, I miss you. Like, can't wait to see you. Want to make plans, blah, blah. In my head, for the past like literally 5 months in my head, anytime anyone has said that, it's always been like, oh my God, I love you so much, but I don't want to do anything right now. Like, I don't want to do anything right now. Not even with like, no matter how much I love you, I don't feel like I don't want to put my full self out there to you. And I don't want to, I don't feel like, okay, so if I show up and I'm not being my full self,
like you're not,
you're going to have to acknowledge my other self that I'm being. And I don't feel like dissecting that with anyone, but like one or two particular people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So then I don't want to surround myself with anyone at all. And so then I ghost everybody. And then I go back like 5 months later and I'm like, damn, do I have to make new friends?
Yeah, because I do that too. I ghost the shit out of people. And I don't mean, it's not like maliciously. It's not like I don't want to talk to you. It's like the energy that it expends.
You are me.
The energy that it takes me to even feel,
I'm an
like, just to have like a stupid conversation. I'm just like, I don't have it in me right now.
I don't want
to
entertain
I'm
that.
Not a good,
I wish
I don't
like
feel
a
like
predictive
it.
Text.
I'm not
if
a
like
good...
someone texts me, it like automatically responds. You know how someone says like, this number's not in service. Like I want it to automatically be like, not in a good place, but I still love you.
It's like you have to start like,
not in the mood right now.
Yeah.
Like, your friend has their notifications.
Silence.
Yes, our silence.
Yeah.
It should be that. Like your friend has their notifications silent, depressed.
Yeah,
sometimes I want to use like my Instagram, like, so I don't follow people that I don't know, so my entire Instagram, like, I have the same following as the same followers because I know everyone and I basically talk to everyone and I'm pretty whatever. So when I get sad, I'm like, can I just fucking publicly like say like, hey,
sad,
don't, yeah. But then I don't want people, I don't want like all of them to feel like it's impersonable, like it's impersonal and
that
like, you're just,
but people, everyone,
you know,
would probably be like, oh, you're sad.
And that's another
and then
thing.
Reach out.
And exactly.
Then like,
and then
no,
I'll, exactly. When I'm like telling people on Instagram or when I like express that like, oh, I'm fucking depressed. It's literally not so that I can get attention. It's more so to be like, hey, I'm fucking depressed. It's cool though. Sometimes we just have to be depressed. I'm not fighting it. You don't have to fight it. That's just like what I try to show.
Or like so people are more understanding.
Exactly.
Of like you not answering them right away or
yeah.
you not wanting to hang out.
Exactly.
Versus like if you like, you know, if you write like, I'm depressed on it, everyone's gonna be like,
6 p.m.
Oh,
later.
I'll come over today,
I know.
And I'll do
I'm
this.
Like, actually,
like,
no.
Let me take you out to dinner. We can talk about it.
You know
it's
what
like,
I want
I,
you to
that's
do?
The opposite.
What, you know what I want you to do? I want you to literally not even text me. I want a front door notification from my camera to say that you dropped food at my front door and that you turned around and walked back to your car. That is my love language.
Literally
feed me like a hamster. Let me go back to my little wheel and leave me the fuck alone.
Yeah.
That's
oh
it.
My God.
I am not a good communicator.
No.
Like, I am...
Oh.
I'm
did that not
lead
perfectly into
yo,
today?
Yo, Jules, did you accidentally... Yo, segway queen. Speaking of communication, we're 22 minutes into this shit and all we've been doing is
talking shit.
So, we actually have a really good episode planned for today. And it actually all ties together with, like, literally everything. So recently, I, again, like, to my point earlier that I enjoy really shedding, like, versions of myself and whatever, I honestly do feel like I'm constantly, like, growing. And so I feel like I tackle on new things. Even if they are repeated themes, it's, like, a new
version.
Life and a new whatever it is, time and whatever, right? So lately, I have been really, 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 really noticing that I'm a terrible communicator. Like, but, like... It hits me in waves, right? At first, I'm like, wow, I'm really bad at communicating and whatever. And then, like, wow, I'm building, like, this resentment towards this person or whatever. And then I would take it from, like, a romantic standpoint. And then I'll be like, oh, fuck. That's why my friendships have been like that throughout my whole life and whatever. And then I'm like, oh, fuck. It literally goes back to, like, my parents and the way they communicated with me and whatever. So I've done a lot of therapy about my communication. But I have just been noticing that I don't talk at all, and I don't talk and I don't ask a lot of questions and whatever, and a part of that is because I don't enjoy showing people my motives because I don't trust anyone, because I think that everyone is gonna turn it around and like hurt me. I don't trust people to know what I'm wondering, what I'm asking. I don't trust you to like get the hint that this is like, I don't trust for you to predict anything of me. So I don't ask and I don't talk a lot. And so I assume a lot of things. Like, it's like I'm fucking jigsaw puzzling my mind, like, yeah, for the questions and answers. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And then I, like, just have been noticing that. And I'm like, I've been really bothered with it. And then I was on YouTube and I went through this. Or like, one of the suggestions was this video from this channel called Therapy in a Nutshell. And it was talking about, are you guess culture or are you ask culture? And basically, guessing culture is when a person doesn't directly, like, ask or imply or whatever, but more so, like, out of, like, politeness or whatever, they kind of guess. And they are less direct and more passive. And then, like, in ask culture, you're more direct with your questions, your statement, kind of, like, in the view of, like, it doesn't hurt to ask.
Yeah.
Yeah, very straight to the point and whatever, right? And it just blew my mind that there is an entire psychology thing for what I have been feeling internally. Like, the frustration that I've been feeling internally, there's a whole ass thing out there.
Yeah.
Like, it's a thing.
And a lot of us fall.
Yeah, exactly. Categories. And so I thought it was really cool that because we have four different views today, that we could talk about that and we can discuss, like, what kind of culture we're from, how we were raised. And the reason why I want to talk about this is because this is a really, really important point to know in communication skills. And if you know, acknowledge, and kind of, like, work with this thing that you know about, it helps you then communicate better.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps you to be more considerate in the way that others communicate to you.
Yeah.
More right? Understanding. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because it's like, for me, growing up, I always put expectations on people. So if I'm sitting here and let's say I walk in with a whole bunch of groceries in my hand and I have my phone in my hand and I expect you to come and help me with the groceries instead of being like, hey, can you help me?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of being like, hey, do you think you can help me? Because it's like, I expect you because you see me with, because Hispanics, and then it's like, hey, you see me with all the groceries? And it's like,
yep.
Isn't it polite for you to offer because you saw it?
You saw me struggling, but it's still the right thing for me to ask because I should be direct.
Because not everyone is a mind reader.
It's so mind blowing that it's like,
it's also, like, hard to work against yourself because you and I are the same. So, like, I know if I saw you walking through the door, my ass is up before you even got to the door.
I would call you when I'm outside because exactly. That's what my grandma would do. Be like, hey, I'm outside.
Put some chanclas on and get outside because I have groceries in the trunk.
Exactly.
Same situation.
I just de compra. Dale.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Or even before they left. Like, you know that as soon as you hear the car stop and lock and the doors open, you know you should be by the front door with your shoes on that don't fit because you can't find shoes. You're struggling to find some shoes to fit and you end up in size 9 and then size 4.
The garage door open.
Exactly.
You better be
and you're
out
running
there.
Out there to fucking help with the groceries. But I struggle with the same shit. I'm like, hello.
Exactly.
What are you
and
not
then
seeing?
How do you break out of that habit now that you're dating a man that's
right.
A white man, and then he's so used to, you know,
hi,
you being a little bit
life.
More
no,
polite,
I,
and then
I
please
think,
don't
like,
yell at me. But then it's like you're so used to
when
know.
You come from a more cultured background.
Yeah.
I think that you are. I feel like that's so much more of a guest culture because there are so many different cultures that has different respect manners and like
expectations.
Exactly. So one of the examples in the video in the Therapy in a Nutshell talking about guest and ask culture, like one of the examples of differences is like. In Japan or in China, it's actually very not polite. Like it's not rude for you to. It's not rude. It's very like not polite for you to finish your plate. But in a different culture, it would be super polite for you to finish your plate because that indicates that you enjoyed everything.
Right.
But like in China or whatever it is, it indicates if you finish your plate, that's rude because it indicates that there's not enough. Like you're indicating that there's not enough food and you don't feel satisfied, right? So that's exactly. And like looking at you in the eye when you're talking, I grew up being raised that it was not polite to look at an adult in the eye when you're talking.
This issue is my number one issue with people today.
I literally do not make eye contact to this day because I don't.
I would get punished if I didn't look somebody in the eye.
But that's the difference. So it's the same with communications. Like, for this, I feel like because I came from a background of so much like respect.
Yeah,
like
Asian
there's
culture,
so much respect.
For sure.
Yeah, like you don't directly imply or ask anything because that's rude.
You're not allowed
because
to.
You're, yeah. But then,
there's
like,
a hierarchy in Asian culture.
Exactly. But then that made me grow up to be now, like, I don't ever take it personal when a person is too direct. Like, when a person is truly, truly from, like, the ass culture, like, and you can see it, I don't take it personally because to me, I was so guest culture that I desire so hard, like, so badly to be able to ask.
I think it's rude at times. And that's
No, that's absolutely
like,
so
unaware. Yeah. Like, what do you mean you're sitting there asking me that?
Yeah.
And I'm like, no. Don't ever.
There's
two spectrums. I feel like we're all guest culture. 100%.
At this
but
table?
Yours has to do with respect and ours has to do with
how dare they?
Like a lack of like emotional intelligence.
Mm.
Okay.
So I feel like coming from my side and when you sent me this, I was like, damn, this is my life. But like coming from like the opposite spectrum. So like not necessarily when it comes to like helping you with things or whatever, but like when it comes to my emotions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like for someone to sit there and ask me how I'm feeling. So like with my boyfriend, I don't ever want him to be like, what's wrong? I'm like, why can't you just figure it out? Like, why do I have
mm-hmm.
to tell you? Because in my house growing up, like, I couldn't ask them, like, why are you treating me like this? Why is there, you know, turmoil in the family? Like, it was just, and that's how I feel like I became an empath because I had to figure out everyone's emotions at, like, a turn of a second.
That's why all women are empaths.
Exactly. So now in my life.
Guess their way through this.
Yeah. And now in my relationship, I see it the most where I'm just like, wow, I really should be able to communicate more, but it frustrates me that he just, and I think of it as like he's refusing to understand me, but he doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
So I have to learn how he learns and he has to learn how I learn. But how I learn, I need to just get on the other side of the fence because if I never feel comfortable enough telling him, he's never going to ask me questions.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's opposite ends of the spectrum for both of us. But we're still all guest culture because, like, I'm not going to sit here and tell you anything. Like, I'm going to make you guess.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like before we could learn anything, we have to unlearn it.
Yeah.
We literally have to unlearn, like, guest culture. But it was a it would have been a different story if we were like, okay, the moral of this is that, yes, there are two different, like, communication culture, whatever the fuck, right?
Yeah.
And the whole point is that you're supposed to be able to understand like how to use them both in a balance. You're not like, not all guest culture is wrong and not all ass culture is wrong. And you're supposed to be like
a mix of them both.
Yeah, like emotionally intelligent enough and whatever
self-aware,
to know how
to
yeah, exactly, time and place and whatever. But for me personally, I struggle so much with fighting myself.
Yeah.
Like, and that's why what I mean when I said, like, I think we have to unlearn all of it before we want to learn anything. Because, like, I can have a full conversation in my head in the desired way that I want it to go, which is that I speak up about whatever it is and whatever. But I will overthink it to the point where, like, I'll talk myself out of it.
Yeah.
And then I will never have that conversation. And then I beat myself up about all the things that I never said.
Mm-hmm.
And
you
it's
have that strong argument in the shower. Whoever
exactly.
you're fighting in the shower, it's, oh my God, you
exactly.
are, like, on the winning team. Nobody's ever coming back from that shit.
Exactly.
You get out of the shower. A, I forget. That's a trauma response for me. I forget my points. Because when I'm face-to-face with them, I'm like, oh, I don't know
that's
what
why
I was
you write
feeling.
Them down.
And then, yeah, I feel like I get gaslit into thinking that all of the things that I did feel were not valid. So I'm like, no, yeah, you're totally right. Like,
yeah.
I was totally being dramatic about that. Turns out I'm not being dramatic. Like, I just had no value to my feelings or emotions, which literally goes back to me feeling like I have to guess everything because I don't even know how I feel myself.
Exactly.
Kind of go back to what you said. I don't know if you feel this way too. Like, she said she's a guesser in her emotional being, and like her partner is the opposite. He's much of an ask in the emotional
yeah.
space. I'm the exact opposite, where if I'm feeling a certain way, I completely voice out my complete opinion about it. I'm like, this is what you did, how you made me feel, and why I feel that way from your action. And I can never get anything from him. It's like radio silence. I'm like, how do you feel? I don't know. He doesn't even know how he's feeling. So I have to always assume,
yeah.
even though, because he doesn't communicate that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel that way? Like, do you feel more so like how Megan feels in emotions? Because I know that you said you are a little bit more guarded when it comes to like speaking.
Yeah, I'm definitely like, I can't do that at all, like what
okay.
you do, because like, and it's different because I grew up like, okay, I can never just sit here and tell you like, this is what you did and this is how I felt. because when I was younger, a lot of things that I felt were not validated. Mm-hmm. So yes. In my mind, I talk myself out of a lot of conversations because in my mind, it would be okay to endure this and go through this silently because I know that I can because I'm used to it because I've done it my whole life. It would be easier to do that than to go through the possibility of someone doing that to me again, invalidating my feelings, telling me that I'm crazy.
It seems like more work.
Gaslighting.
Like more emotional load for someone to either, or have the conversation not go exactly how you want it to. So we haven't practiced enough having those conversations that even if it doesn't go the way we planned, being okay with it. Like,
yeah.
We only have one scenario in our head and then we don't even do that because we don't want to face that rejection. We don't want to face opposition. We don't want to face not being validated. Like, mm-hmm. It's just a disgusting cycle, which makes you not want to, like, voice how you feel.
Yeah.
But for you, you hit fucking walls.
Well, I think the reason, well, for him, for his, how he feels.
Yeah.
But I think it really stems from, like, being in different abusive relationships where, like, I wasn't allowed to say how I felt. And even mm-hmm. like growing up in that kind of stigma of like not being able to say how you felt, you're not allowed to have those emotions. Yeah. Like
you feel
being
safe
upset,
enough in your relationship to say those things. Cause you yeah, do trust your partner.
I trust my partner and I feel safe. And that this is something that I want to work on
yeah.
constantly, even in my like own family. Like we have the same conversations. Cause like, this is something that I've had a trauma that I'm really working super hard to build. So maybe that's not like, so like, maybe that's me kind of stepping out of my cultural like upbringing of how I was a guesser and becoming this because again, like you said, growing up, I wasn't even allowed to be upset. Whenever I was upset, I wasn't allowed to cry. Ugh. Like no crying allowed, you know, like you cry when you get spanked.
You
that's
cry
more
and
punishment.
Then they make fun of you.
Yeah.
Like, at the, like
I know,
you
but
literally cry and then they make fun of you.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
they traumatize you from never crying
exactly.
again.
Exactly. Or you get more
tears
trouble.
Fall
you get
and you're
another
like...
spank for every time they hit you. And you're just like, am I supposed to absorb these tears? Like,
yeah.
what the fuck? But I feel like that's why I've been super emotionally cold. Like, growing up, I was a very cold child. Like, they called me the ice queen in my family. Like, the ice princess and ice
oh
queen.
Oh, my God.
I kid you not because I was really emotionally, like, detached. So I feel like being able to voice those feelings has made me better in like being able to show those emotions and be a lot more loving to my partner and family. Cause like for a minute I was ice queen. I was ice queen. They literally called me ice queen. All right, Elsa, like I'm coming for you. But yeah, I was literally an ice queen. So
talk to
That's
me, Jules.
Funny.
I feel like you had some stuff to say.
Yeah, I did. I feel like for me, I'm just so uncomfortable with being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So it's like the minute that I even start to voice what I'm feeling or even knowing that I'm about to have that conversation, sometimes I'm even willing to like avoid it.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm willing to just be like, okay, but I feel better now.
Yeah.
Like it's okay. Like things are,
don't worry about
things
it.
Are fine.
I'll figure it out.
So that's why it's like going direct and just to sit here and be like, okay, well, this is how I'm feeling. And I just want to know, like, how were your intentions? Like, did you do this on purpose? Maybe you didn't mean to trip me and I fall with all the groceries and then you just laughed at me with the groceries and then
yeah.
I had to pick them up all by myself. I don't know. But it's like being uncomfortable for me. And that's something that I'm really trying to overcome. But even just conversations with my mom, my grandma, it's just something. Even sometimes with doctors or anything, it's just like being uncomfortable for me is so fucking, how do you overcome that?
Honestly.
Because it's so hard. Like it's to the point where sometimes I, even the thought of it, I could cry on demand.
Yeah.
You got to take little steps.
It's
you
a little steps,
to.
But mainly like getting over it. It's, I don't know. I just like had the exact thought in my head and it just went away.
No.
God. Oh, it was just me. I was constantly having the same fights over and over.
Yeah.
It was constant and it would tear my relationship apart for the same things. Because you were still upset, but you never voiced the thing. You
mm-hmm.
just got over the small like issue,
but
not the
resentment.
The resentment.
And then you don't acknowledge the resentment until it's like in your face.
Yeah.
And then it blows up. And I think when I finally addressed that kind of style of my own, like knowing that's how I communicated in my relationship, it really fixed those fights. And now if we have a small fight, it's literally not even a day's worth of fight. And we're just like, yeah, I think we just communicated like differently. We were on the same page and it like ends. Like it never built up to like a big fight anymore. And I used to be that type of person where I look at all my relationships and they were explosive. And I'm like, why is all my like relationship fights like, why am I explosive? And why am I like screaming? And I didn't want to, I'm like, I can't have that in the future. Like, I can't be a full grown adult where like half my arguments, I'm screaming at the other person. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not something I want to do. Like, that's not how I want to be.
That's literally how I am too. And that's literally how I went. Like, when I was little, my parents would never fight with me because they would always tell me, like, we're not talking to you like that. We're not talking to you when you scream at us. Yeah. But in my mind,
but you have no other way to get it out.
But that's the thing. You made me like this. How could you make me feel crazy if you made me feel like this? Couldn't you see that you caused this? And why would you make me feel like you did it?
Because I feel like the things that we never learned, and this took me so long and a ton of money in therapy, a ton of money, because it's not, and this has helped me in my relationship. I have never been in a better relationship, and we went through it for a really long time. But until this thing clicked in my head, nothing made sense, and I was not going to get better. So it wasn't the thing that I was upset with in the arguments, because arguments come and go. It's how it made me feel. And until I separated those two, and in the moment when I wanted to absolutely fucking scream and rip his head off, if I didn't take 2 seconds to be like, why am I so upset right now? Am I really upset because he didn't put the washer in the dryer? Like, am I really upset because of that? Or am I upset that he didn't anticipate the fact that the washer went off and now we have wet clothes? Like, am I upset that he didn't have that anticipation, that he wasn't being considerate to the thing was where I'm doing 700 things in the day and all he had to do was one thing, was switch the laundry. That's our biggest fight right now, laundry. Yeah. Like, all you had to do, my love, my sweet, sweet white man, was put it from the washer to the dryer.
The colonizer.
Not the colonizer. That's all you had to do. But, like, again, it's not about the fact that we have wet clothes. Yes, that sucks. That's an awful byproduct of it. But it's his lack of consideration that I could get to him more than screaming at him that, hey, now we have fucking wet clothes. What are we going to do tomorrow? It's being like, hey, breaking it down, taking a fucking second. It takes me so long now to even get into something because I was always the person like, no, we're going to hash it out right now. That's not always the best case for me. And that doesn't work for me. What works for me is taking a second. I'll lock myself in the room, totally fine. And he understands my process now where I'll need a second so I can tell you constructively what it is that I need you to not make me feel like this. Yeah. Or, hey, you telling me that you really didn't have the time to do this because I would never in that space give him the time to explain why that couldn't get done. Yeah. And if it was a shit reason, then I have more, you know.
Yeah, like, more Latina coming for you.
More, exactly. So it's literally just not being upset at what the problem is at hand. It's how it's making me feel. So, like, if I'm feeling like I'm drowning in housework and I really just need a helping hand for him to just assume the responsibility, that's what I need. I need someone to be autonomous. I need a partner that's autonomous. Mm-hmm. I need someone that's going to do it without me telling them.
Yeah.
Right? It's like a child.
You are me. Yes.
Literally. I just need you to, I need you to think as quickly as I do, but that's also a really unfair expectation to have on someone. But if you just put it out there in a way that they're going to understand, it's also learning the communication style.
Yes. Yeah. But literally the question I literally say is like, this is what you did that made me upset. I'm feeling this way, regardless of how you feel about the situation. I can feel this way.
Yeah.
How are you feeling? And why are you upset right now? And it's usually, again, like, he'll pinpoint to the exact thing that's happening. But I'm like, no. It's not because of this. It's, like, an overall, like, you doing this is because you didn't take into consideration and da-da-da-da.
X, Y, Z.
So it made me feel this way. What about you? And it's hard because he doesn't have that communication style. Like,
Neither of our men. They don't think that far ahead. They're not that I'm going to say it. They're just not that emotionally intelligent yet. But we're going to keep getting in fights until this gets fixed on both ends. Because at the same time, it's not always me being explosive. It's not always you being explosive. Like, it's the opposite end of the spectrum. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to sit here. And we also, I feel like, not that I don't want to be ask culture. I get annoyed with ask culture. I'm not going to sit here and tell you a million fucking times. Yeah, there's a time and place for you to assume responsibility or for me to tell you something. Because I'm not about to sit here like your mom and write you down a chore list. It's not happening. It drives me up a wall. It's not happening. So, again, that really common ground between the both of them. And then also with you, Jules, like, you need to understand, I feel like, what am I trying to say? That, like, you have a problem even asking because you don't like to be uncomfortable.
Yeah,
But you just need to take small steps. It's small steps. So like for me, on my spectrum, it was asking, hey, I need this to get done today. Or, hey, I really didn't like how you came home today. Do you want to talk about it for a second? It really did make me feel good. It's small things that you know wouldn't have that much of an explosive outcome are what builds you up to be able to have those really uncomfortable conversations with people like doctors or family members or friends or coworkers and shit like that. Yeah. It's literally, you have to start with the small things to make you comfortable enough that like, yeah, I feel validated in my emotions that I'm going to ask those questions. That's the only way it happens for me.
Yeah. You know what's really weird? That like whenever I saw that video is like, for most people, they're like, ask culture around their friends and guest culture around other. Mm-hmm. That's, I felt that until recently. It's like totally switched.
Really?
Yeah. Like your friends, you're allowed to ask, but then you guess around everyone else to, out of politeness. For me, I don't know that person, so I don't care how they feel. So I'm going to ask them and be super direct because I need something. I'm going to ask for it. But first for my family.
Period.
Thank you. Like, I don't give a fuck if I hurt your feelings. Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm the same way, but when it comes to my friends, I'm always like, if it's rude. I'm going to assume I don't want you to think that I'm a piece of shit for even trying to whatever.
I think it's Asian culture though.
Yeah.
No, but I want to ask my friends because I still have like
no. Okay, you know what?
You know,
Wait. Okay, so this is the craziest fucking example, but this is truly when I was like, "Holy shit, why am I like this?" And like, I could have just prevented this, right? Yeah. It's so small. I made friends with this girl. And we were like new friends, right?
Yeah.
And I just happened to have like an extra EDC ticket. So I gave it to her.
Oh, just
so
happened to have.
Yeah, I really did. So then I gave it to her and we were like planning on meeting up. And we were texting and I was like, hey, meet us at my friend's house and then we can all go together.
Yeah.
And then we were like, okay, cool. So then I was like, hey, I'm on my way to his house. And then she was like, okay, I'm going to order my Uber.
Okay.
So in my mind, right? This is me purely assuming because that's what I do. I guess at things, right? So in my mind, I was like, wait, why would you Uber? Like, why wouldn't you drive to his house and leave your car at his house like I'm doing? Yeah. So in my mind, I was like, why is she Ubering? Is she Ubering there? But then why didn't I ask? And why didn't I ask? It was because I didn't want her to assume that I was fucking stupid for not understanding the point of the conversation.
Yeah.
Like as if I were to be like, hey, like, are you Ubering? I'm so confused. Like, are you Ubering to the house or are you Ubering to the place? And then she would have just answered it. You know what I'm saying? But instead of even having that conversation, I just waited. Until it was like the very last second and I was still confused. And then I had to be like, hey, so are you like coming here or are we meeting there?
Yeah.
But I could have prevented all of that if I didn't have just told myself that she would think that I'm a dumbass for asking a question that I could have gotten
or
in the conversation.
Or it's assuming everyone will be doing the same exact way that you would have done it. And when they don't, you're really upset.
Have the same thinking. Yeah. Same thought process
you
as
assume
you.
Assume yourself in people.
Yeah, so whenever they disappoint you, they didn't disappoint you because, like, you never told them that that's what you wanted or, like, you wanted to do a certain thing. You even asked them. But you assumed that you were, like, had a relationship. So, like, you hold resentment on things that you really shouldn't. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's what I do for no reason. Like, and my partner, just, like, in general, like, I'll just be like, I would never do that to you.
I would never do that to you.
I would have never done that to you.
That's my whole fucking struggle growing up. I think now I'm finally like, okay, I think I'm gonna work on it. But like growing up, I had always, because I was always very silent, right? I have never been expressive. And like you know how you said you were like the ice queen?
Mm-hmm.
I was basically like a different version of that. Right,
insane.
Like completely isolated,
explosive.
You were seen and not heard,
And so I would never, ever, ever, ever like communicate right or whatever. And so, like growing up, I always formed resentments towards my parents, towards my friends, towards like romantic partners, because how is it that I can oh shit, how, like, it was always that, like, how is it that we are both in this relationship and I'm able to be observant and predictive and this, this, and that for you?
Mm-hmm. But you can't,
like,
be?
Why can't you do that for me? Like, and then I would take it as like a, okay, so it's wrong, not compatible, and this is like done deal, because how come you can't understand that I need this? How come you can't read my mind and understand that, like, you should be thinking the same thoughts that I am thinking, and you should be behaving the same ways that I'm behaving? And if you don't do the things that I'm doing for you, it means that you don't love me, because you don't see me the way that I see you.
People
when always, all I would have had to do was, like, communicate, like...
Yeah, but also, how do you remove that expectation?
That's what I'm saying. It's literally unlearning, because I hold these expectations for people, because I'm like, I treat you this way, why don't you treat me that way? You know what I mean? And it's literally dropping these expectations. I don't owe you anything and you don't owe me anything.
That's
and
what
it's
I do
so
now.
Hard to unlearn.
But my partner will see me and, like, see me doing more for others than they would ever do for me. Because I do whatever I want to do for those people. And I sometimes I expect them to, you know, try as hard as me, and if they don't, whatever. But my partner will sometimes be like, they would never do that for you. Like, why are you going out of your way to do this and, like, extend yourself this far? Like, that's, like, you don't have to. I'm like, yeah, but I'm not going to ever think of things transactional, that I'm going to hold everyone to my standard and I'm going to hate you for, like,
well,
small things.
Well, sometimes with that, for me, with that, a lot of times I don't do things because I think that, or because I expect that it comes back to me. So a lot of my actions will be done because those actions make me feel
fulfilled,
like, I am fulfilled as a person. Like, I'm fulfilling myself. This is how I am. And I am supporting my statement as to how I am.
Yeah.
Like, just because you're rude doesn't mean that I'm gonna be rude back to you, because my belief in myself is that I'm still a nice person.
Mm-hmm.
And so I will do my best to do that, instead of, like, thinking, like, oh, you would never be nice to me, so I would never be nice to you. And it has to work that way all the time, because, like, it doesn't. And then that holds so much, like, hurt in those relationships, when you can just kind of, like, or for me, when the way that I let it go is to know that, like, these actions purely, it's literally just giving back to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily, even if it's a favor to another person, I do it because I want to. I ain't doing shit that because you want me to. I do it because I want to.
Yeah.
And that's, like, the whole difference, you know?
It's true.
Yeah. But, unlearning this. These things are not easy.
No.
Even catching yourself in the act and being like, oh, fuck.
I know.
What? Stop that, bitch. What's wrong with you? You better stop. And I'm like...
But the thing is, you have to acknowledge the way that you are, and then you have to be able to understand and be compassionate with how other people are. And then, like, from there, then you can, like, prevent, like, taking things personally, ruining relationships, and, like, whatever, whatever.
I am just so grateful for the awareness. Yeah. I am so grateful that I can sit back and say, this is not okay. No one deserves to be treated like this. No one is even... I'm grateful to be knowledgeable now.
Yeah.
I was not aware of fucking what the fuck we're learning about right now.
Yeah.
Ass culture and guests. Like,
behavior.
I was never aware of this. So the fact that I am being...
Somewhere.
I have the knowledge now. It's like... I'm just even grateful for that. So it's like,
I was aware of my own being, but not other people's perspective on ask and guest culture. And I feel like that was the biggest takeaway for me, is because, like, yeah, I know that I'm, like, a guest culture in this, ask culture in this, and, like, where I can mix and where I need to, like, make up for what I'm lacking. But I never, like, realized, like, I need to be also, like, depending on that person's style, communicating in their language. Like, it's just, we're not
an
communicating.
Understanding.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You gotta be able to, like, see, like if a person is reactive to you, instead of reacting to them back, like, you gotta be able to take a step back and be like, oh, maybe. You have to give them the assumption that maybe they weren't brought up and they don't have this, whatever, whatever. Because if you just assume that everyone is an asshole, then you're just going to want to be an asshole.
Exactly.
But, like, you have to consider that everyone comes from, like, a different background, a different culture. Like, everyone has different traumas and whatever. Like, even though we're all in the same, like, culture backgrounds or whatever, my trauma from like me moving here and whatever is not the same to like yours at all. And like I may behave in the same ways or whatever, but it doesn't come from. And I think that's the coolest thing about dissecting these conversations is to understand different people's like roots. Because even though like human experiences are the same, they're so individual.
Yeah.
Like, and your brain's individual and like your chemicals are wired in there like differently. And you may be like one way and whatever, but yeah, bitch, I don't want to fucking guess no more.
No.
I know.
I just want to be able to tell you this how I feel.
I just want
to
look at you.
No, you're supposed to do both.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be able to do both. Because like,
when you think of it, you're like,
yeah.
I want to be the asker. No, you should
be. Yeah.
You need
but to be sometimes
both.
You have to be.
A time and a
sometimes
place.
You have
that's
to understand that it's polite to not ask. Like sometimes, but then other times you have to understand that you can save so much time by just asking.
And sometimes you have to understand that asking is not being rude. Sometimes ask being straightforward and say, I mean, hey, so it depends on how you're asking,
aware
I guess. But
asker. You
I would
be a
say
self-aware asker.
Yeah.
Ask and guess culture is a time and a place.
Yeah. I feel
that's
like another aspect of like the ask culture that I grew up with was the answer was always no.
Yeah.
So I
yeah.
never asked.
But
yeah.
that's why.
You beat around the bush.
Exactly. A, I'm not going to ask you, my love. Mom and Dad, I'm not going to ask you. Two,
yeah.
I'm going to find a way to do it
yeah.
without even having to ask you for permission.
Exactly.
So you don't even have that on your mind.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get in trouble for it. So it's
yeah.
like the cycle of like, oh, I already know you're going to say no, but I'm going to figure out a way to say no. I'm probably going to get caught. I'm going to get caught. I'm going to get punished. And I'm so hurt when I'm punished that I'm not going to ask you the next question. And it just keeps
mm-hmm.
going and keeps going. So, like, I mean, we're not in that state anymore. Like, I'm not – I don't feel like none of us are, like, under that.
You're not asking
know,
your parents for shit anymore.
Yeah. It's not – but it's not like that, but that trauma carries. So, like, I'm afraid to ask for things for myself or, like, things that I want to do or spend time doing. It's even with my partner, I'm just, like – I find myself like not being like, hey, do you mind if we like do this today? Like, I don't ask that. I'll just go with the flow because I'm like, you know what? You've had a rough week. I'm just going to let us do whatever it is that you want to
yeah.
do. And then when I'm like, cool, nothing ever goes my way or we never do anything that I want to do. I'm like,
it's because you never
asked.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like, damn, I really wanted to skate today. I should have just asked to skate. Instead of just like,
I mean,
out all day.
Skate,
whatever.
I
want
to
skate.
I just
yeah,
like
I know,
to watch rom-coms, bro. He never lets me.
So.
He's like, something, he's like, it needs to be like game
of thrones.
Oh, this
is gonna
like,
yeah,
no.
She watches the worst one.
Wait, hold on.
Know,
what,
really?
Like what?
Hold
like
on. What's a rom-com?
I used to be rom-com.
What's
a rom-com?
Well, that's just a show. I'm like, I'm a depressive show watcher. So like, if I watch a show and I like it and I know it has a lot of seasons, like The Office or Friends or something
yeah.
like that. I'll watch
like
them
Scrubs.
Over and over. Exactly. I'll
yeah.
watch them over and over.
Gilmore
that, like,
Girls.
Eases my anxiety. Gilmore Girls.
I just started watching it again.
So
yeah.
I hate it. But like
girl.
My comfy show right now is Gilmore Girls. And she's
yeah.
whenever she comes
yeah.
over, we're working on a podcast. We're doing something. I'm making
yeah.
dinner. She's like, turn this shit off now. And I'm like, but I love it.
That's
you know?
So funny.
I hate it. Every time I want, I'm like, it's just, I don't know. It just gives me like vibes. Like, I'm just like, turn it. It's not funny.
It's
nothing. It's not feel good. It's just like
oh my God,
white
you know
people
you
shit.
Should watch? You should watch Insecure.
Really?
Yes. You would love that shit. I promise you. Insecure is so fucking good.
What is it on HBO?
Yeah. It's
okay.
like Issa, it's Issa Rae.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
And it's literally just like, I wouldn't say that it's a rom-com, but it's kind of like
yeah.
that is a whole ass thing about like love, relationship, just like real life shit.
Mm-hmm.
But because it's Issa Rae, she incorporates a lot of things from like Inglewood, California, all the things that she does in real life. It's in the show, but she
cool.
just makes it so fucking funny. And like, so in the show, she does this thing where her character talks to herself through like the mirror, and she would rap, like her character freestyles and rap. So she would literally fucking like do all these gangster ass rap to herself in the mirror. And every time I watch it, I swear, I'm like, why is she me? I'm Issa Rae. Like, I should be rapping to myself in the fucking mirror right now, bro.
Love
I swear.
It.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, watch that. And Hannah won't hate it, I promise.
Okay.
That's the only one I hate. Gilmore Girls. So I'm
yeah,
just like, when
like
you hop in, you watch it, you're like, this is like the epitome of like white people problems. Like, you know, like you watch it and you're like, this is what you're worried about.
I literally love Gilmore Girls, so
exactly. I love the life that they live. They literally wake up, they go to the like the shop or like the coffee shop. He makes them breakfast every morning, which like that's me. I'm a breakfast gal. I love
She definitely is.
So they make her breakfast and then she goes off to her little private school and then she has dinner at her parents' house on Thursday.
White people problems. That's what I love.
Because it's so simple and it's there's no problems. I think that's why I like it because it's they're not real problems. They're not real problems. It's not really stressful. Like I think that's why I like it because I'm like I know it's all pretty and perfectly wrapped and it's on a pretty set and sometimes it snows.
Like, there's no comedy. And there's no drama. What are we watching?
It's literally just watching, like, people live on a calming scene. That's what Gilmore Girls is to me. It's just calming. So I like that they don't speak very loud. The colors are muted. Like, that's what I like. It doesn't wake me up.
Yeah, I love that. At least you, like, see, they're like, wow.
Oh my God, you know what I've been watching? Is it Cake?
I hate that show. The host needs to be set on fucking fire. The host needs to be.
Did you say set on fire?
He is so.
What's going on?
The forced laughter.
Do you know the person?
So what's going on? I can't do that shit. You get it. You want to win, but laughing at his like his jokes.
No place there. That's why I can't do it. But you know what I love about the Great British Baking Show, which is parallel to Gilmore Girls? You know what? It's not like an American cooking show because when you watch like Chopped, these people are sweating. Someone just literally like lost a ton of blood.
These
and it's like, I gotta chop the celery.
They're like, oh, my cake didn't rise.
Exactly. Oh, well, you know, I'm gonna try it again.
I made this 50 times at my house. My grandma's recipe. I have it on the card. Time to make it. I'm like, You had a cheat sheet?
It's so blasé. Like, they don't care. They're like, oh, I got sent home, but you know what? It was a really big honor to be, you know, on the show this evening.
It was a really big honor. Not how being literally the contestant.
You know?
There's a placard and they're like, this is my life achievement.
No, when they win, they get the cake. It's a cake plate. They win the Great British Baking Show cake plate. And then they'll go home happier than they've ever been in their life. And I'm like, that's the kind of serenity I need. They'll go home with 100,000
fucking new fucking followers on Instagram and a brand new ass business. That's why they fucking happy, bitch. And they got the Hollywood handshake.
Period.
You know if he gives that shit to you, you're... Your panties are done.
Boy, if I just get cinnamon rolls and Paul Hollywood shakes my hand, bitch. Yeah. Oh my God.
I would put that on my LinkedIn. The top of my LinkedIn. My greatest achievement.
That's it.
Paul Hollywood handshake.
My resume. I don't give a fuck if I work corporate. Paul Hollywood handshake. On the top line, girl.
Top line.
The fuck?
Not even about
bonus info. Things I find cool about myself.
Did we also talk about the perspective of asking guest culture from like being women?
No. I think that's where. Holy fucking shit. Fuck that shit,
because you know what? I was literally just thinking about Paul Hollywood. And I was like, Paul Hollywood probably asks whatever he wants and gets whatever he wants. And I'm like,
I would give him whatever he wants.
I struggled.
Daddy vibes, but Daddy you know.
I struggled a lot with boys. Like standing up to boys, right?
Yeah.
Like standing up to like... So, this is really weird, but when I was younger... I had a lot of, like, different types of, like, anxiety and whatever, but, like, one situation happened in, like, a really long time ago, and it always stuck with me, was this boy, like, looked down my shirt one day and, like, saw my chest, because he was, like, I was doing something, and he looked down and he saw my chest, and then, like, he told me, and then he was, like, well, if you don't send me a picture, I'm gonna tell everyone that you showed me your boobs.
What?
Yeah, and, like...
What the actual?
Yeah,
this happens in real life.
Yeah, and
of course
I was,
it does.
But
it
I was, but I was
time.
So I was so young, and like during that time, I was so young. I had been like I kept being bullied and whatever. So I had such an anxiety towards people, especially my peers, because my peers were the ones that were punishing me the most. Just like from there alone, I was already like. I could have just been like, well, I didn't show you my boobs and you just fucking saw it. So if you tell everyone, I'm going to say that you're lying. I could have said that, but there was nothing but anxiety in me.
Yeah.
And I just freaked out like no one's going to believe me. Like no one's going to believe me because everyone's going to believe him.
Mm-hmm.
And like my childhood is like a lot of that. So I feel like because of that form of like constant anxiety, it makes me never speak up. Therefore, it makes me never ask anything like ever.
We already don't have the upper hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, as women, we are so looked at. Like, I remember vividly, and we talk about this a lot because this is something that we both went through. I think this was in seventh grade. I went out with the most popular boy. Oh, my God. He was on the basketball team, whatever, whatever. I think this was, like, in seventh grade. I was South Creek. Fuck South Creek. And soon as I went to school, whatever, he, I went to a basketball game and he asked me to be his girlfriend. The next day at school, everybody was like, Jules, you know, I'm not going to say his name. Let's call him Christopher. You know, Christopher, is telling everybody that, he asked you out as a dare. And I'm like, oh my God, like, for real? Like, why are you doing that to me? Like, that's my boyfriend. Like, and then it's, like, so embarrassing. Yeah. Like, I'm walking around, like, this is my boyfriend. Like, I even changed my status on Facebook.
The fact that these men feel like they can ask you as a fake, go out, or ask you even for photos. Mm-hmm. This is the type of ask where it's just like, this is toxic asking.
Audacity, like, ask.
But we were so young, and so I imagine these boys grew up in such an environment that they were taught that they could do anything and everything.
And they can ask for these same...
I would have never told the same boy, you have to send me a dick pic or I'll tell everyone that you show me your
dick. You show me your dick.
I would literally never. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I wish I would.
But I wish I would have made fun of so many little fuckers. Like, play that manipulative, like, power card.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As much, because it's like, they know that it's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, fuck, I swear to God, I want to fight everyone now as an adult just because of all of the shit that I held in when I was little.
Maybe because they knew we were guessers and they knew we would never ask them any questions.
Like, exactly.
They had the audacity to ask the stupid questions that we were like, and we couldn't have asked anything
else. We never spoke up. Like, we would never be like... Like, you know how many rumors are fucking, oh, Jules is a whore, Jules is a whore, Jules this, Jules that. I lost my virginity at 17 years old. And it's like, since I could remember, I was a little bit, had a little bit of bigger tetas. You know, I was like thinking like 11.
Yeah.
And my shits were like a D, you know, and it's like I was always... Boys
sexualized.
Always made
you
me
were sexualized.
Always,
that's what it was.
Always. Mm-hmm. And I was always so gullible. Anything that someone told me, I believed them. If you were like, Jules, oh my God, there's a rabbit outside playing a piano. I'm like, oh my God, let me go look. Really? Do you think you can see from the window? Yeah. Like, I was such a gullible kid.
Nobody teaches you to be smart. Nobody teaches.
And I think that's why now I don't ask questions.
Yeah.
I just believe. I'm like, oh, okay. I just believe. I'm like, I'm not even going to ask.
Well, because you don't think people have, you think people have the same intentions as you. You don't assume people
that's
have
what
these
it is.
Really bad intentions. People who are guessers, I feel like, project themselves and other people.
Exactly.
If you're a guesser, you assume everyone else
would
want to be the exact same way that you want to be treated. No one goes as a guesser being like, oh, they assume something. No, you just kind of assume that they have a very similar mentality as you. And I feel like that's why a lot of the resentment and other things come up. Same thing. You know, you trust people the way that you would trust yourself. That's
too
why you may seem gullible, but it's just you having that nature in other people and being like, you see yourself in those people. You've never, you know, that's how you make so many good relationships, because you're so open and communicative and you really trust people. But then you can find yourself at the other ends where people take advantage of that and you can be a guesser for the wrong askers, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But that's why I think growing up is so like difficult in a sense, because you have to you grow up with all of these things that you're taught, and then you have to unlearn and then relearn and then adjust them to the right time and place, adjust them to the right people, and then, like, the way that you're growing, and then you have to navigate, like, all of these different things. Like, there's no set rules, but there are, like, universal assumptions.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just so hard, because you have to understand yourself so that all of these things that you're navigating is truly, like, tailored to you. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a lot of people go through, like, life forgetting that starting with yourself is the first part. and they start everywhere else. Mm-hmm. And then they reach to a point where they're like, oh, but none of this actually applied to me because I don't know what I like.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
I don't even know myself, actually.
Yeah.
I don't even know what I like.
And all we end up with is fucking unrealistic expectations and emotionally unintelligent men.
Amen.
Lord.
It's like we both transition at different times. Like, again, like being emotionally, like, not like, you know,
inept.
Immature. Exactly. And then it's the same thing as communication. Like we're slowly maturing and
yeah.
you're being self-aware of how you communicate.
Because
and then,
I want that. I want yeah. someone to understand me. Like I choose to understand everybody. I feel like it makes my life so much easier when I know what you need, just no, but nobody wants to know what I need.
Yeah.
You know, it just, I feel like if that shit's a two-way street and it often honestly happens with the opposite gender, I feel like the only two things it doesn't happen with is your mother and the opposite sex. Those are like the two really hard things that you just
yeah.
can never seem to get on the same page. And I feel like that spans through all ethnicities, all cultures, like all age groups. Like those are the two things, like the like love interests and your mother.
Yeah. But do you ever think of like men starting out mainly predominantly as askers and they slowly have to evolve because they're starting from that end of the spectrum. When they become mature, they'll slowly get closer to the center.
I feel like
so,
it's so hard though, because with that ask comes a lot of power, and men refuse, even over the course of their life, refuse to mature into emotionally intelligent beings to relinquish some of that power.
Ooh.
Because they
refuse. But that's a choice. It's
a men's
same
world.
Thing for women.
It is a men's
so
world.
Right.
It is a men's world. So how do they become more dominant? By asking more questions, by feeling like they can be the person in that.
But they don't even
500
have, they don't even
college
have to, like,
to sit up and ask something.
They don't even have to do the extra step because it's already been set up for them.
That's true.
So they don't even have to, like, whatever, whatever.
They
are is tailored to them.
Yeah.
So they don't have to grow.
No, they do, because again, we're growing from the other side of the spectrum, trying to meet the middle. We're not trying
mm-hmm.
to be askers.
Yeah.
We're trying to be well adapted both. Same thing with men. I feel like the reason they don't mature as quickly is because they start at the one end of the spectrum. They don't realize there even is a center.
Mm-hmm.
They just realize like, oh, I have all this power of masking. Why do I have to meet everyone
like,
in the middle.
I'm just direct.
Yeah.
I'm just honest.
That's their fucking tagline, bro.
Why
like,
are you so
oh,
offended?
Why are you like, why are you so,
why are you
offended,
so offended
and why can't you take it the way it is?
I know, but the most powerful
fuck
people,
that.
If you really think about the like men who are the most powerful and impactful people,
are literally both.
And those are the most mature, communicative style is
because they know what they know the time and the place.
Exactly.
They know when the
and
fuck.
And they may have started as askers, so they're able to really be direct, but their understanding of the audience that they're speaking with and being able to be mature to see the situation.
We're also
so
raising
like,
more femme men.
Amen. And you
yeah.
know what? I was just literally talking to Khan and our friend too yesterday. I was literally saying, I hate
I just
it, but I'm
out Jules likes like femboys.
I'm so.
Like, I think Jules likes like Timothy
fine.
Chalamet.
I'm
like,
so
but
attracted.
But isn't it funny? A buff ass bitch.
I'm
trying to
so.
Break them.
No,
yeah,
it's not
I
even
guess.
That. I think I'm just so attracted to a polite, soft spoken. Gay man. Like I'm so attracted to that.
Yeah.
They're so polite. They're
why
so
are you guys like understanding each other?
I sometimes
right
when I'm drunk, I look at them and I'm like puckering my lips and I'm like and they're like, what are you doing? And I'm like, we're friends. Like, and I'm just kidding, but I always find myself
yeah.
very attracted to gay men. But I think it's because they're just so polite. They're
Me
so
God.
They're so like they're so nice and they're just they give off this like such like a safe place that I'm like why
I
you
think
don't,
that's
are you
what
sure
don't
you don't like
I don't
women.
Feel safe in your dominance
that's what I'm saying
I don't
want to sit
dominance.
Here and sit on your lap daddy
no.
sorry but I don't
literally only
I don't want you
no.
to spank me sir
maybe
like,
sexually for like 25
minutes
25 minutes
and
me,
then after
like,
that
the other 23 and a half hours of the day I need you to be soft with me I would love
I'm
you to sensei. Take care of me but dominance
I'm
does not sensei. Mean you can you have to stop taking care of me
yeah
you know there's just a lot.
I like
that.
I want to be able to take care of someone because I'm very like iced
nurturing.
Out.
Are you that way?
I'm very nurturing with
mm-hmm.
my person because on the outside, I'm not nurturing for others like that.
Same.
Except for my partner.
So
you're
I
nurture
same.
Me though.
We're
like,
literally
you're
the
you're
same.
My,
no,
you are my partner.
I won't
partner.
Even like the way that I am to like a romantic partner. I will not. No one besides a romantic partner will see that side. You will
yeah.
not get that affection. You will not get that.
She's
like,
romantic
emotion,
with me. She
like,
bought
nothing.
Me Twix.
Yeah,
Twix oatmeal yesterday. Yesterday she said you want it.
Voices
I'll
that we make.
Yeah.
And, like
no, we're very suavecito with each other.
Yeah.
But like it's a very select.
Are you guys
view.
About to kiss right now? No, I'm just kidding.
She won't. She won't. Only when we're drunk will she let me kiss her.
But what?
I've never asked.
Okay, okay. No, Connie's not affectionate. I don't like
kissing my girlfriends. For all of my girlfriends, don't try to kiss me, please. I don't like
it. I don't think I would ever go that boundary, though.
I don't care.
I wouldn't go that boundary.
I don't care either. I could kiss you and make out with you and be fine. Like, I like girls. I don't care
about
that.
She does not like girls.
I just don't.
Khan does not like girls. I don't care. I'm going to draw the line right there for her. I think...
How do you going to tell her who she likes right now? Are you assuming...
I literally came out of the closet last year, and this bitch is putting me right back in.
She's like, close the door behind you, babe. Close the door.
Like, right the fuck back.
I think...
Don't put the love on you, and he's like...
Just because she doesn't want to love you doesn't mean she doesn't like the ladies.
I never said... No. And I'm not offended at all. Listen. Okay, listen.
I'm a little offended.
What are you trying to say? Yeah.
I don't even remember. Stop.
Okay. I don't like girls. That's what you were saying.
Yeah. You don't even think she likes girls.
Yeah. I think that she is attracted to them.
Right.
But this is, once again, this is me putting expectations. Tell me if I'm wrong.
Do you expect me to go and be with girls just because I say that I like girls? Is that why you think that I don't like girls? Because I haven't shown you that I've been with a girl?
Probably.
Like, I don't share my whole business and shit with everybody or whatever. Like, and I've been with a girl, but I've never been, like, emotionally, like, involved with a girl. Exactly. And I am still, like, exploring my relationships with, like, how I feel about girls and women and, like, even just with people in general.
You know how hard it is to explore women being in a cis, straight relationship with a white man?
It's not even that. Like to my point earlier, I don't give a fuck about kissing my friends. It's the fact that does nothing for me. I have no desire.
Well, it doesn't nothing for me either. I just like to do it like a little kiki.
But I don't care. But that's my thing. It's like, I like to keep very clear boundaries.
Okay. Yeah.
I like to keep very clear boundaries. So, like, I don't have any desires to touch you, and I don't want you to touch me at all. And that's why, like, my romantic partner is the only person that will get anything of that side.
Because I'm very clear on my...
Like, whatever the fuck, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But even, like, bro, I find me a fucking girl that I can literally talk to and have a good conversation with and I will still be interested in without her being, like, on some dumb shit. Girls and guys are the same, which is why I haven't, like, been interested directly in any of them. Yeah. Because, like, also, I found out that I'm, like, a sapiosexual.
What the fuck is that?
It's, like, you're, like, attracted to, like, intelligence. Like that is, like, I shit you not. If I don't like the way your mind is, I don't want to see you at all. I don't want to touch you. I don't talk to you.
You want to get mind fucked.
Yeah. Bro, if you could mind fuck me before I even, like, touch you.
Yeah.
Before I even fuck you. Oh, my God, in my brain.
Then maybe you can get the toto, okay? Yeah, then we'll talk.
Maybe you can get a little kissy.
Maybe you kiss the lips.
I feel like we rounded all the bases today. We touched on everything.
Literally, even Khan coming out the closet. Which that has never came to the pod. So, hey guys.
Honestly, it's always therapy with us.
Hey guys. It's always. Can we do this once a week?
I know.
Like, I'm so serious.
First time we ever met, you found out that Khan was even engaged.
Oh, yeah.
I knew that.
We bring the best out of Khan.
We do. We bring the best out of Khan.
Yeah, she doesn't come out unless you make it. That's so funny. Well, this was a beautiful conversation.
This was amazing. My cheeks hurt.
It was good.
Yeah.
Thank you for having us on.
Oh my God.
Thank you for being on.
This is long overdue.
Tell the people where we can find all of you and what you're doing.
What are we doing?
On Instagram, you can find us on wellnessinprogress.whip. So you'll definitely see our faces.
Yeah.
There's another one that looks similar, but she ain't it. So the one with our faces, the one for the podcast, that's the one. And again, we, you know, have a podcast every Monday that releases.
Yeah.
Whenever they release, we'll probably have one as well. If you haven't already listened to their episode from our season one with mental chillness, that one was super, super fun. So that's where you can find us if you guys ever want to connect or just get to know us a little bit more.
And we're on Apple Podcasts.
Apple Podcasts,
yes, and
Spotify.
Then your personal Instas, if you want to give them.
I don't even know mine. Do you even know yours? I'm just Megan Drago.
29.
Isn't there a dot in yours?
is there?
Well, everyone's going to be confused. My name is Hannah, but my name has an I in it, so you'll yeah. never find
it's
me. Hannah.
It's Hannah. I was going to say Hannah.
Oh, no. Yeah. There's not a dot. It's underscore. Megan underscore Drago 29. Yeah. Feel free.
Go.
Well, there's not a lot of Hannahs with an I in their name, so I have, like, a free range of, like, whatever I want to call it. So mine's literally just my name, Hannah Myers. But, again, my name with an I, H-A-N-N-I.
She
is unique.
She's spicy.
One of a kind.
So, like, Hania Myers. And if you guys can't find it, obviously, it's going to be linked in our podcast page.
Yeah. So now you have another podcast to put onto your Monday rotation. Yeah. If it isn't already on there, because we talk about them literally every week.
Yeah. Get with it.
We literally have to go and record our episodes. So, till next time, mental chillness.
Thank you, everyone. We hope you have a wonderful rest of your day or whatever it is that you're doing. You can find Mental Chillness on mentalchillness.podcast on Instagram and Mental Chillness is on Facebook.
Go listen.
And I am Mother Eartha with a zero, and Jules is lots of Jules with two S's, and we are motherfucking outie.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.